There's different ways of thinking about a new year, right? And one is making movement, right? As you go through a new year, you're progressing. As you go through a new year, you're walking. And so we can talk about walking through a new year. I think you're familiar with this idea of walk. Now, when we use the word walk, you can see a picture here, just a random picture of people walking. You know, but at least when we use it in the biblical sense, we're not talking about what? Putting one foot in front of the other and making sure that you don't trip or stumble. We're talking metaphorically about what our lives look like. The Bible frequently uses the word walk in the idea of how you live. We could say it's your lifestyle. We could say it's just how you live life on a day-to-day basis. And even in some verses, there will be the Greek word for walk, and it'll be translated in a very general way. I'll just give you one example, Romans 13:13. Paul literally writes, "Let us walk properly." And you'll see here, I have the New American Standard on the screen. They translate it, "Let us behave properly. As in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy." And the context makes it very clear that we're not talking here about putting one foot in front of the other. It's how you live. It's your lifestyle. It's your behavior. And thus, they translated it, "Let us behave properly." If you look up this word to walk in the New Testament, you'll find that it occurs quite frequently in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And many of you know how Ephesians is kind of laid out, right? The first three chapters of Ephesians, a lot of doctrine about the Lord doing a work of grace in a person's life and the Lord bringing that person into the church and the Lord preparing a bride for himself. And then we get into chapter 4 of Ephesians, and there will be an emphasis on the Christian's walk. And this is just kind of still an introduction, kind of a flyover. If you were reading in your Bible in Ephesians, you would find out, for example, beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, there's an emphasis on how we need to walk in unity. And we as Christians, we shouldn't be fighting for each other, right? With each other, Paul writes, in Ephesians 4, 1, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And you could easily have a message on walking in unity. We're not going to do that this morning. I just want to make the point that as soon as Paul talks about walking in unity, he then talks about a second kind of a walk, beginning in Ephesians 4, verse 17 and following. It's a walk in purity. In verse 17, Paul writes, "Walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, and the futility of their mind being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." So the whole emphasis there is on walking in purity. That could be easily a sermon, a series of sermons. Right after Paul talks about walking in unity in Ephesians 4, walking in purity in Ephesians 4, we then get to Ephesians 5. He talks about walking in love. And that begins in Ephesians 5, 1, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us." And that, too, could be easily a message, a series of messages. But you know, Paul doesn't stop there. After walking in love, there's a fourth point, 5, 7 and following, talks about walking in the light. And the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5, 8, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So we've covered four real quick and just kind of an overview, walk in unity, purity, love, and light. And then after that, Paul gets down to chapter 5, verse 15, and he talks about walking in wisdom. And this is the text we're going to be considering this morning. "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Now, I actually thought about having a series on hitting each of these walks. And then the more I thought about it and prayed about it, the more I thought, you know, it'll be a long time before we ever get back to Romans, and I don't want to be gone that long. So just trying to pray, Lord, what would be helpful for us as a church family to focus on? I've picked this fifth walk out of Ephesians, walking in wisdom. And even that is too long for one message. So by God's grace, we're going to start part one of Walk in Wisdom today. And then Lord willing, next week we'll talk about part two. And in my heart in this message is that God's word would help us as we begin a new year. I want you to have a blessed year. You want to have a blessed year. I want you to have the greatest year you've ever had. If you had a good year this past year, I hope this year will even be better. You say, I didn't have a good year. I had a horrible year. Then I absolutely hope this year will be better. And as I'm praying, Lord, how can I encourage all of us as a congregation just to have an awesome year? There's no doubt about it. For us to have a great year, we need wisdom. We need to walk in wisdom. There are so many choices that you're going to face. I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'll be general. I spent a half hour, maybe 45 minutes today, talking with somebody who's facing big choices. And he's not sure what to do. And we prayed together. And we opened the scripture together. And you say, what does he need? He needs the same thing that I need. The same thing that you need. We all need to walk in wisdom. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5b. Careful, verse 15, how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You say, okay, so make this practical, Greg. How do we walk in wisdom? What do we need to do? We'll cover just four simple things this morning, okay? Number one, be careful. That's verse 15. I feel like I'm in parent mode, you know? Even though our daughters are adults, we still have two living with us. And it seems like it's just automatic. Dad, I'm going out, I'm doing whatever. And a very common response, I love you, be careful. You know? You say, why do you say be careful? Because there's a lot of things we all need to be careful about. Look at verse 15. Paul says, therefore, be careful how you walk. He's not commanding us to walk. You already walk. Let's just make sure we understand that. Walk means your life. You say, I don't walk a lot, Greg. I kind of sit in a chair a lot. That's still your walk. Walk's not talking about one step after another. Walk is talking about your lifestyle. We could kind of paraphrase this, be careful how you live. So how you continually walk or live, that's not the command. Everybody lives, walks some way. Here's the command. Paul is basically saying, look. And I'll put up the ESV because this is literally what it's saying here. The imperative is look. You need to watch out. You need to beware. You need to have your eyes open. And don't just go through this year thinking whatever happened happens. You need to be cautious. You need to look. And here's the adverb. We need to look carefully. Or the King James has the word, I believe, circumspectly. And some of you that have worshiped with us for a long time and remember the ministry of our former pastor, Dr. Custer, you know that every time he hit this verse, he would describe it the same way, and he would use a cat. And I already know some of you are thinking, I'm not sure that you've ever used a cat positively in a sermon illustration. And my response is, it's a new year, okay? And so I'm going to try, okay? And I really am. Dr. Custer would say that you could picture a cat on a wall, and the wall might have jagged glass. Some of you that have traveled internationally, it's fairly common that you don't have houses with open yards like we do. We're so blessed in this country. But in many other countries, you would have a small yard with a wall around it for safety, and there would be jagged glass, barbed wire-like, on top of it. And Dr. Custer would refer to a cat walking circumspectly, a cat that would carefully put one paw down, then another, walking very cautiously, making sure that cat's not cut. That's what Dr. Custer would say is a good illustration of this. We all need to be looking carefully when we go through life. Right? We teach our young people, don't cross the street without what? Looking both ways. You could get hit by a car. Now, obviously, Paul's not talking about crossing the street, nor is he talking about a cat on a wall. Those are illustrations. Paul is talking about our spiritual lives. Therefore, be careful how you walk spiritually. Everywhere we go, there's spiritual danger. In any day, at any time, we could fall deeply into sin. And we could drift very far away from Jesus Christ. And that's a reality. And we all need to be cautious. We all need to look carefully about how we're going through life. Now, the question would be, okay, what should I specifically be on the lookout for? Well, anything that would hurt you spiritually, I'd like to somehow anchor it in the Bible. Let me go back again to Romans 13:13, where Paul says, let us walk properly, as in the day. Notice what he says here. Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. There's three, really too big, but there's three items in this text that Paul's hitting on. Notice what they are. And this way I'm not just coming up with my own ideas on things that will trip us up. Notice what the Bible specifically warns us about. It says, walk properly as in the day, not in carousing. That's a word that one translation translates as being involved in an orgy. It's the idea of sexual behavior that's frequently tied to drunkenness. It's the idea of, you've seen pictures or read accounts maybe on college campuses or wherever, people intoxicated, coming together, and just immorality all around you. That's the word carousing. Then there's the word drunkenness. We all know what that is. Then it goes on to say, not in sexual promiscuity. That would be a word for sexual immorality. And then after that, it says sensuality. Sensuality, some would say, is a word that means extreme sexual immorality. If I'm going to take this verse, you say, Greg, I need to be careful how I walk. What should I be looking out for? Sexual immorality. Sexual sin, it pulls many people down. It gets them off track. It messes them up. You say, do you think maybe this would include looking at pornography? Absolutely. So many people fall deeply in sin and they're hurt greatly because they're viewing pornography. You say, do you think this maybe means young people that aren't married being immoral? Absolutely. It includes that too. You say, how about married people that are involved with people they're not married to, committing adultery? Yeah, that too. All of that and more. I think it's interesting that just in one verse, Paul talks about carousing. That's a word that has to do with sexual sin. Promiscuity, sexual sin. Sensuality, sexual sin. You say, what is ripping families apart? Sexual sin. What's hurting churches? Sexual sin. What causes so many people to leave Christ? Sexual sin. And as we go through a new year, we need to be watching out definitely for sexual sin. But let's hit a second one here. Notice Paul says carousing. Now that's sexual sin, but frequently along with drunkenness. And then he hits drunkenness. You say, what rips apart families? Drunkenness. What hurts people in great ways? Drunkenness. You say, what rips apart communities? Drunkenness. What leads to all kinds of sexual sin? Drunkenness. You say, what is alcohol? It's a depressant. It's a central nervous system depressant, leading people to do what they normally would be careful not to do. And it's not that alcohol makes you sin. It's that alcohol lowers our inhibitions. And as followers of Christ, we're walking through life and we're tempted to do something. And we say, no, Lord, that would be so wrong. But you know what? go and have a few drinks, and it doesn't seem so bad. And just a little bit of flirtatious behavior, maybe that's okay. And then maybe a little bit of whatever, texting or Facebook messaging, that's okay. And then the next thing you know, actually involved in adultery, that's okay. It's not okay, but alcohol just somehow makes it seem okay. You say, if you were to say, Greg, what should I be looking out for? What should I be cautious about as I walk through life? Absolutely, sexual sin. And then it goes on at the end to a third category, strife and jealousy. What rips homes apart? Conflict, that's strife, fighting. What rips churches apart? Strife. What rips communities apart? Conflict, strife. Frequently rooted in jealousy. Because I see that maybe you have something that's really nice and I don't have it. And if I don't have it, at least I want to make you feel bad for having it. And then the next thing you know, there's arguments and fighting of all kind going on. These are the three things, at least in this verse, Paul hits. So if you say, Greg, why would you hit on these three things? I'm saying because in Romans 13:13, those are three things Paul addresses. Sexual sin, drunkenness, and then interpersonal conflict. You could no doubt add other things to your list. But here's my point. Here's at least three things we need to be cautious about. And if we're going to walk into this new year, we need to be careful. You need to be careful. I need to be careful. You know that I enjoy riding motorcycles. And you say, would you ever go through a new year saying no motorcycle illustrations? No, but I've already used a cat one positive, so that's enough for one year, maybe another year. This year, I'm still going to use motorcycle illustrations, okay? Because I just think about them. You know, you drive around and you see a little bit of gravel on a road like this, you don't care. You're in a car, you're in a truck, you're in an SUV, a van, it doesn't matter. Guys on bikes die when they hit patches of gravel like this, if they're not careful. This is just a random picture. Early, right before Christmas, we had some really warm weather. And so a brother from the church and I, we went up into the mountains of northern Georgia. There's some beautiful roads up there. And just having fun, zipping through some curves up on top of a mountain, having fun. But it's also where there was some snow. And when you get snow, then it washes with gravel. Then as it melts, the gravel hits the roads. And we were very, very careful that once we got to a certain elevation where they did have snow, every now and then a big patch of gravel. And even something like this on a straightaway, you're generally okay. But if you hit this in a curve, you just go down. And so when you're riding, what you're doing is you on curves, you're not looking at the trees and looking at the horizon, especially in curves when we're riding and riding fast and having fun. We're glued to the road because a patch like this will take you down right away. And so I have to be careful. I have to be focused. I have to be thinking carefully. Okay, Lord, help me. And I want to be safe. And then when something like this comes up, I'm not caught off guard. And hopefully you can miss the big patch of gravel. And even off to the sides, there'll be a little bit of gravel. And your back end will kind of scooch out a little bit. But you're thinking, I'm okay. It's just a little bit. I'll be fine. You say, you're making me paranoid. I'm not trying to make you paranoid. I'm just saying this is what the Bible says. You got to watch out. You have to beware. There's all kinds of ways you could fall into sin. Let me stay with the motorcycle illustration just a little bit, please. You know why a lot of people mess up on bikes, especially when you're new? You will go wherever your eyes go. Okay, I'm going to stay with this illustration. And you read about this in books. They have training courses on this. Wherever you look, you go, whether you want to or not. So if I'm riding and I see a patch of gravel like that, if I stare at that gravel, I will hit that gravel. Because you'll go where you say, so what do you do on a bike? If I'm right here, I'm looking right here. You always look way down road because you go where your eyes go. Which means I have to be able to see that gravel, know it's there, keep my eyes glued way up road, and I'll go beyond it. If you stare at that patch of gravel, even if you don't want to, you will ride right to it. There's been a lot of research that shows, especially guys that are newer riding, they actually hit cars head on for no explanation. You say, why? Because you see a car coming, you kind of get frightened, you stare at it, you'll go right to it, because that's how life is. I'm not encouraging you to focus on the hazards that we all face. If you focus on them, that's not good. As you focus on Jesus Christ, that's the point I'm trying to make. As you look down the road, I want to live for Christ. Your eyes need to be wide open and you need to be careful. Don't obsess. Don't become fearful. Don't become paranoid. But the fact is, there's a lot of things that will take you down spiritually. And you need to be careful how you walk. That's the first thing Paul wants us to see. That's half of verse 15. If we're going to have a good year and walk in wisdom, number one, we need to be careful. Number two, and maybe this is obvious, but Paul says in the second half of verse 15, he says, not as unwise men, but as wise. So if we're going to walk in wisdom, first of all, we have to, number one, be careful. Number two, we have to be wise. Walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And the word wisdom is there twice. And just, you know, I think you know this in English even, right? You take the word normal and put an A on it. It means abnormal, not normal. You know, you slide a B in there maybe or whatever. This is the word wisdom with an A in front of it, then the word wisdom without an A in front of it. So we need to walk not without wisdom. We need to walk with wisdom. You know the word wisdom? It's the word we get the name Sophia. We have a young lady, I believe, maybe more than one, that worships with us, named Sophia. The word means wisdom. Now, when Paul says we need to walk not as unwise men, but as wise, if you think of wisdom, you want to make sure you're thinking biblically about it. You know, sometimes we think about philosophy. A philosophy is the love of wisdom, that word. We think about wisdom, we think about philosophy, and we think about some guy sitting on top of a mountain, right? In the lotus position, right? The wise old man on a hill is allegedly filled with wisdom, okay? Not true. Not true. Not biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom has often been described as skill in living. If you want to have a blessed year, you need to be careful how you walk. You need to walk in a way that shows wisdom. You need skill in living. It's not sitting around and reading the philosophers of centuries ago. It's being skillful in how you live. And to be wise is not the same as being intelligent. I think we all know of people that maybe have, if I can use the word IQ, have higher IQs and they lack wisdom. There are godly people that are not brilliant. They don't have high IQs. They maybe don't have a lot of education. They are incredibly wise. And that should encourage all of us that even if I'm not, what, the brightest crayon in the box, I can still be a wise person. What does wisdom look like practically? And where would I get it? Again, it's not from reading the ancient philosophers. It's from knowing the Lord. I love Proverbs 9:10. I think this verse is the whole theme of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Let's just review this a little bit. Okay, I want wisdom. Where does it begin? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear means showing reverence. So it's not the idea that God's going to get me, I'm hiding. It's more the idea of, Lord, you're awesome, and I want to honor you with my life. So the fear of the Lord, giving reverence to God, is the beginning of wisdom. How do you do that? Well, just a basic reminder, in Hebrew poetry, many times they rhyme ideas, not sound, like we do in our poems typically, but they're rhyming ideas. So let's just look. What rhymes with the fear of the Lord? Answer: the knowledge of the Holy One. The fear of the Lord is the knowledge of the Holy One. To fear God is to know God. You say, I want wisdom. It begins with fearing God, and you'll never fear God until you know God. What then is wisdom? Wisdom is the idea that I will show reverence to God based on my relationship with God. And if I want to be a wise person, it begins with knowing God. That's the knowledge of the Holy One. You can't fear someone you don't know. So if I want to have a great year, I have to walk in wisdom. I have to be wise. And I'll never be wise unless I know God, because I can't fear someone that I don't know. You can be incredibly intellectually blessed and not be wise. You know, what kind of illustration does one use? And many different ones. Obviously I don't want to stay with motorcycles the whole time. I'm going to use a financial one. And I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, but this is something that's come up more than a few times in the past. And if I knew of somebody here at Trinity that this applied to, I wouldn't bring it up, because then you'd be thinking I'm thinking of you, and I'm not in the illustration. Okay. Through the years, I've talked to many, many different people, just trying to encourage them and help them, and they'll be trying to respond to financial challenges. And I'll say, okay, so what's going on financially? Well, you know, Greg, we're really strapped. Well, let's talk about it. What's going on? Well, I have 2 mortgage payments and I can't afford it. Simple question. Why do you have 2 mortgage payments? Well, because I bought a second house. Okay, so let's think about it. You had a house, you had a mortgage payment on it. You could afford that. You bought a second house. Could you afford the second mortgage payment? Well, no, not at the same time as the first. So why would you buy 2 houses if you can't afford 2 houses? You say, well, but that house was so awesome that you did something very unwise. That's correct. You can be very intelligent and make unwise choices. If you can't afford 2 mortgage payments, you don't buy 2 houses. Now, I'm not suggesting it's wrong to buy 2 houses. There are people that say, Greg, I can afford the first payment and the second payment, no worries. Then you might find a really awesome house and you buy it. Because even if the first one doesn't sell, you're fine. You might say, my first one's paid for, so my second one's only 1 mortgage payment, and I can afford 1, that's fine. But a wise person would never say, I'm going to buy a second house even though I can't afford 2 mortgage payments. There's a word for that. It's called being unwise. That's the point I'm trying to make. You say, so how does that relate to the fear of the Lord? Just think with me a little bit. And again, honestly, I'm not thinking of anyone. Here I am. I'm living in a house. I have a mortgage payment, perhaps. I see another house and I say, that's an awesome house. It is. You say, so what's the goal in life? To live in an awesome house. Not according to Proverbs 9:10. The goal of life is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I just want to honor the Lord. So how can I honor the Lord? Well, one way I can honor the Lord is not having 2 mortgage payments when I can't afford 2 mortgage payments. You say, but I'll never have that house. I don't care if I ever have that house. I want to honor Christ. My life is not about getting what I want. My life is about honoring Jesus Christ. That's wisdom. See? And you can be very intelligent or unintelligent. And yet we would understand that if we're going to have good lives, we need to understand what wisdom is. And it's focusing on knowing the Lord and trusting the Lord and wanting to honor the Lord. So number one is be careful. Number two, be wise. Notice what Paul says in verse 16. I'm calling it be shrewd. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, I'm using shrewd in a positive sense, and don't think of it negatively. I know sometimes the word is used negatively. I'm thinking about it, ladies. Some of you ladies are really good shoppers, you know. Some of you men, too. That's what I mean by being shrewd. The text says, making the most of your time. And the word translated, making the most of, it's a word that means to purchase or to buy. The ESV puts it, making the best use of the time. The NIV, making the most of every opportunity. King James, redeeming the time. It's the idea that if we're going to walk in wisdom, we need to make wise purchasing choices, applying it to time. Just like you would at the store. You only have so much money. So what many of you do is you shop and you try to make wide purchases. We only have so much time in this life. And then life is over. We need to make wise choices in how we're going to spend time. Maybe a simple illustration that kind of combines both of these in a way that I hope is helpful. Okay? Not long ago, I said to my wife, I said, honey, I think I need to get a suit. You know, this one suit I have, one is really old and the other one's looking kind of old. And so, okay, so need a suit. You say, so Greg, do you go out and shop and look for a suit? Okay. If I were to make a list of the top 100 things that I enjoy doing, shopping for clothing would not make the list. Okay? I don't think it'd be on the list of the top 500 things. It's just not going to happen. Life is too short. This is me now. You apply it differently in your life. Life is too short to go shopping for clothing. I mean, I just can't even fathom that. That doesn't even compute. All right? I don't mind shopping, but it's not for clothing. Okay? You say, so what do you do? Well, there is a store in town. I could walk in, just buy a suit, but everything just priced on the rack is so incredibly expensive. It's like, wow. So I just, on my computer, I just look, and every now and then they have closeouts, and they'll mark things down 75%, and then it comes somewhere into my price range. And I'll look, and there'll be two suits, and I'll say, hey, that one looks all right, and that one looks all right. You say, well, how do you know? You just buy them both. It doesn't matter. You say, well, how do you get it to fit right? Well, sometimes I'm between two different sizes. I just buy one of each, and I'll just buy four suits. And the shipping's free, and they send them, and I try them on, and I pick one, I keep one. There's a store in town. I don't even have to fool with sending stuff back. I throw it in the back of my truck. Next time I'm by that store, I stop in. I say, hey, I want to return three suits. I did this recently. Guy says, wow. He said, what you're paying for those is a whole lot less than you can buy them for here. And I smiled and he smiled. Yeah. And why not? Because I want to be a good steward of my limited funds. And I promise you, I want to be a good steward of my limited time. I'm okay with going into a clothing store for like 5 seconds to return something, okay? But after that, I'm already feeling like I need to leave, okay? Now, you might enjoy, some of you really enjoy shopping for clothing, and that's okay. That's not my thing. That's not my point. My point is, however you apply that to your life, you must apply it to time. You need to buy back the time. You need to be using your limited time wisely. The same word is used in Colossians 4:5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Again, you could translate that redeeming the time. What does it apply to? Well, certainly it applies to sharing the gospel. You know, guys, life is short, and I did two funerals in the last 2 weeks. One was very expected, and one was incredibly unexpected. One was a man, our former pastor, in declining health for some time. I actually expected to do the funeral sooner. One was a gentleman roughly my age, not sick at all. And one moment he's in his house walking, and the next moment he's on the floor, and the next moment he's in heaven. And no one knew it from a horizontal perspective. And that could be one day me, you. I don't know how much time I have. I need to be cautious that I'm not wasting my time with things that don't matter. I don't want to be just walking by opportunities to share the gospel. And then the opportunity's gone. And I may never have that opportunity again, because I was distracted with something that didn't matter. Now, that's just one application, and I'm using that because that's the application in Colossians 4:5. But I think we can broaden this out, because here in our text in Ephesians, Paul doesn't say specifically in verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. He's not saying specifically that's sharing the gospel. So let's just go broad and talk about redeeming the time in every way. You know, we all have to be careful with the and again, with this recent funeral, a brother my age, just yesterday I did it. I realized that could have just as easily been me. And how many things should I do that I haven't done yet? Thinking, well, I could share the gospel with that person more. Let's get away from that. I could be kind to people. I could be reaching out to people, even if it's family members, healing rifts, taking the time to spend time in prayer with your family. I think about this, you know, I was laughing. Nancy was handed a little nursery beeper thing, you know, and that just made me laugh. It's like, hey, we're parents again. You know, Nancy's watching the grandkids this weekend because the young adults are up in on a retreat. So Nancy comes to church today with the grandkids, and she has a little beeper, and it's like, wow, we're parents again. You know, she has a beeper. You know, it's not long ago we were bringing our kids to church. That's my point. Now we're bringing grandkids. It's like, where did that time go? My girls are pretty much grown up. You say, do you think maybe you'd want to spend time, family time in prayer? That time's gone. My family's not together anymore. Any time we spend in prayer together, it's already happened. For the times we did, I'm thankful. For the times I failed, I can't go and get it back. I say to those of you that are younger and have your kids still at home, redeem the time. If you want to spend some time with your kids in prayer, it's going to have to be now because you're going to blink and maybe you'll be grandparents and you'll just be looking back saying, man, I messed up. You know, for our marriages, we don't want to be to the place where we get old and, wow, I wish I would have spent more time with my wife. I wish I would have spent more time with my husband, encouraging my spouse. I wish I would have said things to my parents that I really should have said about I love you and I care about you. Thank you. But now mom and dad's gone. I can't say those things anymore. You can't get it back. Whatever walking in wisdom looks like in your life, you have a limited amount of time. You need to buy it back. You need to use it in a way that would honor God, because the end of verse 16 says, the days are evil. That might be in a non-moral sense, meaning the days are brief. It might be a moral sense. There's a whole lot of evil in this world, and we need to be redeeming the time that we have to do things that please God. Either way, the principle is the same. We need to redeem the time. In our new year that we're all looking at, we've all begun already. Walking in wisdom means, number one, be careful. Number two, be wise. Number two, be shrewd. One more, verse 17. We need to be understanding, number four. Last verse. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul says in verse 17, do not be foolish. That's a word that could be translated, don't be ignorant. Don't be a person who lacks understanding. And that's why it's an opposite, verse 17. Don't be foolish, but what? But understand. Understand what? What the will of the Lord is. Now, you can't understand His sovereign will. You know, one time, one moment, you know, a specific point in time, Christ will come back. When? I don't know. He knows. That's His sovereign will. This doesn't mean understand His sovereign will. It's the idea of understand His moral will and how it applies to you. That we're all here for the same reason. What? There's two great commandments. We're to love God totally. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's why we're here. And rather than being ignorant, I need to know how to do that. Because frequently in life, we face situations that look just like this. Look at that picture I have on the screen. Two paths, two kind of like dirt or gravel roads. And you've come to a Y. You can't go straight. You have to go left or right. Look closely. Which way would you go? Look for a hint. Here's a picture of a kind of a wooded area. Again, two dirt, gravel kind of roads. You have to go right or left. You have to make a decision. You have to. Unless you just sit there and that's a decision. Looking carefully, if you had to make a choice, what way would you go? What's the answer? Does anybody know? How many say, well, the best I know is I study this, Greg, I think I'd go to the left. Raise your hand. How many say, as I study it, the best I know, I would go to the right? Yeah? Well, here's my answer. I don't have a clue. I've studied this picture. I'm looking for something. I can't figure it out. You say, then why did you use it as an illustration? That's my point. Life is like this. We come to forks in the road and we find ourselves saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I could just as easily go right or left, left or right. Would you please help me? And you know what that means? That means that I need to understand the will of the Lord. I need to have wisdom. I need to have information. I can't be foolish. You say, okay, so I have to understand how God's will would apply to something like that. You say, so what do I focus on? After I study these two roads and can't figure it out, I know of someplace else I need to spend some time. And there's a picture of the Bible. And it's opened up to Proverbs. I'm not saying you have to read Proverbs, but it's a wonderful place to read. You say, Greg, are you telling me if I spent enough time in the Bible and really got to know the Lord well, that I would have the wisdom that I need to be able to walk through life and know how to make decisions? Absolutely. I believe that. You say, I've read through the Bible and I don't see it. Well, I would just say, read it some more. And read it with the goal of understanding Christ and who He is and what He has done. And I believe for all of us that if we would spend time in God's Word, it would help us to be reminded continually, number one, that we need to be careful. There's a lot of spiritual gravel out there that'll make you go down. You got to watch out. And then secondly, if we spend time in God's Word, we would be wise. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And then as we spend time in God's Word, it keeps reminding us that, wow, time is brief. And I need to be shrewd in how I use my time. And then as we spend time in God's Word, we would find that, you know what? Hopefully we're not spiritually ignorant, but we're making choices in how we walk in a way that honors the Lord. Put this all together. Here's our conclusion. To walk in wisdom in this new year, we need God's help every day. Every day. Every day. Every day you're looking at forks in the road and you want to walk. And you don't want to go down and hit gravel. You want to make wise choices, not unwise choices. You don't want to be foolish, but you want to understand how to please the Lord. You say, so what do I do? You need God's help every day. And there's no doubt in my mind, and here's the application of the message for all of us, and many of you have seen this before, and I think some of you knew it was coming. It's a brand new year. So how's your Bible reading looking? How is your Bible reading? Look for a new year. I am absolutely 100% convinced everyone needs a Bible reading plan. Hire a financial planner. Tell him you're serious about retirement. And he'll look at you and say, if you're serious, don't worry about it. You don't need a financial plan. Not. He will say, if you're really serious about financial planning, if you're really serious about your retirement, I'll help you make a financial plan. Of course you will. I'm not going to tell you what kind of plan to follow, but you need a plan. I'm not going to tell you you have to use this one, but for so many of us, we've been reading our Bibles together on our phones now for a number of years. And if you've never read through the Bible, you know, depending how long you've been a Christian, can I, not to give you a hard time, but to say this out of a heart of love, isn't it time you've read through the whole Bible? Now you say, well, I'm a young person here. I'm in grade school. I got it. We're good. You say, I've just put my faith in Christ this year. Praise God. I'm happy. How about some of us that have been Christians for a long time? I'm not even saying you got to read through the Bible once a year, every year, but certainly, if you've been a believer in Christ for a while, I would like to think every one of us has read through the Bible. Maybe not even in a year, but we've read through the whole Bible. Absolutely. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I haven't, then maybe you would begin. And let me even caution you with this. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time and you've never read through the whole Bible. Maybe you would just start with reading through the New Testament. You go to YouVersion. click on Bible reading plans, and click on partial Bible. Don't go whole Bible. Click on partial Bible, and there'll be maybe 50 of them. Scroll, scroll, scroll. I don't know why they put it at the end, but way at the end of the list, you'll find read through the New Testament in a year. And I think that's a great place to start. Maybe you're like me. Okay, here's confession time. I've read through the Bible a number of times, and I've read through it using YouVersion. But last year, I didn't keep up. You say, so you don't read your Bible every day. Well, here's one of the challenges I face, especially when I'm preparing two messages a week, which I love. I sit down, and it's time to read my Bible, and I'm reading in Romans, I'm reading in 1 Peter, and I'm focusing on that. And I want to do my regular Bible reading as well, but I say, well, you know, it's already midnight now, and I think maybe I'll do it tomorrow, and then I get behind. You say, welcome to my world. What do I do? Go to YouVersion, and with one hit of a button, it's called catch up. Go, boop, and you're caught up. You say, it skipped books. No, it doesn't skip anything. It will say, you are caught up, today's reading is, and you start right where you left off. And you don't have to look at that discouraging note, you are 21 days behind. Oh, man, I hate that note. So just hit the button, catch up, boop, like that. And it's like, here I go. You could do that. Maybe you started last year and you got behind. You might say, Greg, I started last year and I'm 6 months behind. Do you know that button works for being 6 months behind? The best I know, that button works for being 11 months behind. And you say, I did okay. By God's grace, if you are going to walk, if I am going to walk in wisdom, I'm not telling you that reading the Bible is everything. I will say it's necessary. It takes more, but I promise you it takes no less. This is the first Sunday of the new year, so we have an invitation. What is your plan for regular Bible reading? And maybe what you would want to say is, by God's grace, I will go home and go to Bible.com/app, for those listening online. I will go to YouVersion and I will pray about one of the plans. I think that would be a wonderful way for you to show love for Christ in response to what you've heard this morning. And you might say, Greg, I don't like reading the Bible on the phone, and I would prefer to read it on my laptop. You can do this on your laptop. Some of you might say, I really like the paper Bible better. You can print many of these off, and then you could have a paper item. And I used to do that, and if that's your preference. But here's the application for all of us. If you're going to be careful, be wise, be shrewd, and be understanding, I promise you it's not going to happen without the Bible. I know it takes more than that. I promise you it takes no less. You must be involved in regular Bible reading. Some of you already know exactly what you would like to do this year. Would you, even right now, while it's on your mind, pray, Lord, by your grace, that's what I'm going to do this year. I'll read through the New Testament this year, or I'll read according to whatever plan this year. Some of you say, okay, Greg, I got it. I haven't thought of this. Okay. Would you, before I say amen in just a couple minutes, would you be willing to say, Lord, by your grace, I will open up YouVersion today. Before I go to sleep tonight, and I will look at the different Bible reading plans, and whether it's through the New Testament in a year or another one, I will begin a Bible reading plan today because I want to walk in wisdom. I want to be careful, wise, shrewd. I want to have understanding. Would you do that? Not because Greg said so, but because you want to walk in wisdom and you want to please Jesus Christ. And because you honestly believe that right now, in this moment of time, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I believe the Holy Spirit still speaks to us. And that sense that you have that this is something I think I really should do is something you want to respond to. And I don't need to know it, but it's something you want to respond to. Can we pause? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment? And I want to just give you a little bit of time. You say, I don't want to close my eyes. I want to open up my Bible app. Go ahead. That'd be fine. Would you be willing just to spend just a moment praying, Lord, by your grace this year, I want to spend time in the Word so that I can walk wisely. And if you don't even agree with me that you have to have a plan, even though I'll still argue the point, then just say, I'll without a plan, spend time daily in the Word. But my hope is that you would spend a little bit of time praying, Lord, I will spend time daily in your Word this year so I can walk wisely. And even if you don't know what plan you'll follow, Lord, before I go to sleep tonight, please help me. And I will download this app to my phone, to my laptop, and I will begin a regular Bible reading plan this year. You could do that right now if you believe it would honor Christ.